All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. Hope everybody is present, accounted for, and having a good old time in the big city on a Thursday. Nick is here, Barry's here, I'm here, so let the festivities begin, gentlemen. What is going on?
What up, what up,
what
up?
What it do?
Late night for you peeps.
Oh my God, those late starts suck.
I'm so tired.
You're like, not going to get over them either.
That's... I literally got here 7 minutes ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's a late start, so usually that means after post-game duties, you're probably not going to get home before 1. 12:31, I think.
Well, yeah, it's a further drive to cut and shoot.
That's right. It was a long drive to cut and shoot.
And then when I, like, on a night like that, and both of you probably have similar, or maybe not, I don't know, but on, like, because you had to do that too when you broadcasted, but when I get home from a night like that, I can't just go to bed.
You're wide awake.
No, it's like, so I'm playing video games. I'm like, what is my life come to? I can't sleep. So I ended up going to bed about 2:30.
That happens to me every night, honestly.
Really?
When I get home, I cannot go straight to sleep. It's just been a thing.
I wish we lived in a state where marijuana was legal so I could have smoked a pen and went to bed.
That doesn't prevent you from doing
that. I totally didn't do that because it's illegal. Is the stream on? Can they see me winking?
The stream is working.
Oh, damn it.
It is functional.
I just couldn't go to sleep. Like, it was...
You know what? It happened to me all the time. I mean, you're wide awake calling a game, and then I had to still be on point to do the post game, and then you got to clean up and whatever, and then you drive home, and you're right. You're just, as much as you hope that your eyelids, like, are heavy and you're ready to just nod off, you end up, like, just sitting there going, man, it feels like noon.
Yeah.
It was the same pattern for me when I did overnights. I would do this crazy overnight shift. I'd be incredibly exhausted throughout the entire shift. As the end of the shift approached, I'd get more and more excited, and then right when I left and got home, I'd be too awake to go to sleep.
Yeah,
it was the same pattern every night, and it drove me crazy. But I still have that issue till now, even though not being on the overnight shifts.
Overnights would suck.
I would still get home and not sleep.
Like, I'm a night owl, so I'm not a get up early kind of guy. I mean, I had to, obviously, in the corporate world for many, many years, but my wife would always wake me up. Because, honest to God, I woke up today at 11:40. Like, that's, like, I just
There's
slept.
There's so many cuss words I want to throw at you
I
right now.
I just slept. And now, my alarm, I set it for 10:30, but I'm like, nope, snooze. Snooze. I snoozed my phone from 10:30 to 11:40. And I was like, well, I should probably make some coffee. So I just...
Wow, it was just one game you went to, bro. It was not like...
I'm old, okay?
You act like you were like picking up 100-pound boxes at the Rockets game.
Yeah, this is not a tough job. I'm not over here claiming that this is difficult to do. I'm just saying that I was tired because I'm old and I'm like...
I'll say this. Sports have that aura about them that kind of get you jacked up.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, you understand it from the player's perspective of, like, players feel like when the crowd, they can feel the crowd, the electricity, and you can understand how they get hyped. But even just being in the building and being around sports, because, like, the difference between doing a Rockets game or doing Sports Sunday on Channel 2, I can come home from Sports Sunday, I can go right to bed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But if I come home from any kind of the game, mm-hmm. I'm wide awake.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but did you go to bed right away, or were you up all night?
I was up for like another 45 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of the norm for me.
Yeah.
Maybe, I never go straight to bed.
Maybe I shouldn't have played video games. That probably kept me up longer than I should have been.
Because it kind of gets you excited when you play video games.
Yeah.
It's messing with your sensories again.
Yeah.
Where you're on point and you're
it's
alert.
Like a little shot of caffeine almost.
Do you, I know you don't play, do you only play sports games? Do you play like shooter games
or
anything?
No, I play everything.
Like, I'm playing this game now, and I noticed lately that I get so into it that I forget to blink. Like, my eyes will start hurting because I'm just staring at the screen so intently that I'm like, oh, my God, my eyes are watering.
You sir have a problem.
Yeah, can't you pause it? I think I might.
Yeah, no, but I'm into the game. That's the thing. I don't want to pause it.
Okay.
I'm super into it at the time. But can I just real quick, driving in here, there was a guy on the freeway playing the drums on his steering wheel. And I know what you guys are thinking. Like, that's big deal. Like, you just take your hands
out.
And you... He had drumsticks.
Oh. Wait.
And I didn't know that part.
Two of them?
Yeah. He had... I'm like, you know what? You want to play a little thumb drum on the wheel with your thumbs or, you know, maybe play a little guitar where you turn the hand around and grab it and you know, use the fingers and pretend like you're playing a guitar or maybe even just use the hands like it's bongos. This dude had drumsticks. So if that dude is listening... put the drumsticks away and just drive, bro. People trying to get over and move around in traffic. You're holding us up there, Tommy Lee.
That sounds a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Two drumsticks and you're driving?
Yeah.
You got some strong knees.
Maybe he's super excited. Maybe he just got one of those electronic drum sets that you got, Barry. And he's super excited.
Then stay home.
Yeah. Did you ever see me driving around the city with drumsticks? Yeah.
Might as well with the way you drive, sir.
I can attest to that.
The way I drive? Yeah, I drive really good.
I'm thankful that you would never consider multitasking drumming with your driving.
I'm a good driver.
I mean, you're alert. I'll give you that. But you're aggressive as hell.
Yep. I'm very aggressive. Yes.
And fast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I am aggressive. And
no
I am.
Space is too small to get into or out of.
Okay, guys.
Especially with that.
We get it. I'm a good driver.
On the Hardy Toll Road, going about 90.
That's the problem with that Accord. It'll scoot, man. Even it's just a four-cylinder, but the turbo, put it in sport mode, it's faster than the Z I had.
That only has a four-cylinder in it?
Yeah.
I would never would have guessed that.
Yeah, it's perfect for traffic, man. You put it in because it has sport mode, eco mode, and regular. You put it in sport mode, oh, my God. Like, you touch the gas pedal, and it leaps. So, I dig it.
And it's fancy. You're probably going 80, and you don't know you're going 80.
No, you don't. It's
probably it's got that super smooth feel to it.
The problem is it's got this automatic brake on it. And you can't have an automatic brake in your car if you're an aggressive driver.
Yeah. Can you turn it off?
Yeah, but it's already saved my life, like, three times, because I'll be texting and looking at my phone. And then the next thing I know, like, I've come to a complete stop within 2 seconds, and I look up and there's a car in front of me.
That's awesome.
I'm not even lying. But it's not good when you're just being aggressive, weaving in and out of traffic, or you're trying to get into a spot, or you're following somebody that won't go and you want to move over. Because if you get too close, it just slams on the brake. I was eating nuggets. One hand. I can do that.
Not drumming.
And I look down to dip my nugget in my ranch. Slam on the brakes, my nuggets, my wrench, everything went flying everywhere. I'm like, oh, come on, Honda. You're killing me. I need to turn it off when I know I'm going to be
now,
aggressive.
Now, what happens if you do, like, the diagonal lane change between two separate cars? So you're in the clear before you enter the opening, and then you got a car in front, car in back. Will it?
So it'll beep at you, yeah. But it won't. Apply the brakes. It only apply the brakes if it detects that you're going at a certain speed and the car in front of you is not.
Okay.
Like, so it'll usually beep at me. It'll tell me to slow down if I'm too close to somebody or if the car in front of me isn't going any faster and I'm still speeding up. It'll say, hey, dummy, you need to slow down, apply the brake. So it'll beep at you and flash on the dashboard. You get a big thing that says brake, like a yellow.
Wow.
But it doesn't apply it. It applies it if the car in front of you is, like, stopped or going really, really slow and you're not doing either.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It really has. Like, one time, my wife was – something was wrong with the cat, and she had sent me a text, and I was reading it, and I wasn't paying attention, and I looked up, and I like – because it'll beep, and then you feel the brake because it's an electric brake. It's an electronic brake. So, like, I could feel the brake suck to the floor to stop me. It was pretty cool.
I feel like that's going to make drivers dumb, though.
No, this is the evolution of driverless cars. It really is. Like, this car is smart. It's crazy. Like, it's got the lane. It keeps me in my lane. So if I'm on a long trip at 3 a.m. and I'm driving, like, to El Paso, I put on that lane keep assist. And if I start to drift to one side or the other, it just turns me back into my lane.
It's you amazing. Are turning into the laziest driver ever.
But those are
I
cool.
cannot wait for driverless cars. I just want to watch YouTube vids and, you know, like that dude playing the drums.
I would never trust a driverless car.
Oh, I would. Uh-uh. I totally would. Because then if it messes up, I'd sue.
Well, I mean, it's probably just as likely as you getting into an accident, right?
And someone not paying attention. I'll tell you why I wouldn't trust him. Because of guys like you. Because of the people that aren't going to turn it on right away. And so my car might see a green light and start going, but there might be someone that decided that they don't need the driverless car and punch it through an intersection.
I get it, but here's the thing. Like, when I'm backing up, my car has a fisheye lens on the back, not just a regular camera that goes, maybe has a 45, 60-degree angle. I can literally see down, like, if I'm at the supermarket, I can see down both the aisle, both sides, all the way. And it has detection. So if I'm backing up and there's a car on the aisle anywhere, it'll beep. It lets me know that, hey, if you're backing up, there's this car coming down the
aisle.
That's cool. It's crazy, man, the technology that they have in these cars now.
Yeah, I just, that whole amazing. Driverless stuff scares me a little bit.
And you would think, though, I mean, it's just a Honda. It's nothing special. It's not a Lexus. It's just the technology has become so advanced. And that's what they use, like Acuras and Lexuses and all that for, is to perfect that technology. And they pass it down to us common folk in a Honda Accord. And I love it, man. I don't regret one bit. Even though I had to pay $75 to have mulch delivered, I don't regret one bit not having a truck.
And you don't miss the truck anymore?
No. And every redneck that listens to this station was texting me and tweeting me, telling me how much I'm going to regret it. And I don't. Not one bit.
You can buy a beat-up truck. Keep it around.
Yeah, that's true. I could buy one. And then you could rent them from Home Depot. It's like $20 an hour.
$20 a day. Oh, it was an hour?
Yeah,
an hour. I thought it was $20 for...
She was like, it's $19.95 for the first 75 minutes and $20 an hour after that.
Yeah, it's not per day.
I was like, that's okay, because I could go and get a bed load of mulch, drop it off, take it back. I could do that.
That's still good. It's still cheap.
Yeah. I rented one to clear out our storage unit in the last year, and I want to say for a whole day, it was less than like $60.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
that's a good deal.
Did you rent it from Home Depot or did you rent it from like U-Haul?
The crazy thing is I went to Home Depot and they're like, yeah, we're out. I'm like, how are you out? He goes, but we're connected with an enterprise down the street. They'll give you one. I was like, okay.
So
I went down the street, got it, and my buddy and I just used the truck, cleared out the unit, brought it back.
That's probably the smarter play, to rent it from a rental car company. It's probably cheaper.
Maybe.
That would make sense because Home Depot does it by the hour, where rental car people are like, oh, it's $30 for a day, $40 for a day.
Because when you see one of the Home Depot trucks going by, it says, rent me $19.99. And everybody thinks, oh, for $20, I get that truck for as long
as
for a day.
75 minutes.
Yeah. See, that's the bait and switch.
Yeah. So.
All right. We're just getting started on the usual suspects, as you've heard. So if you want to join the show, HR&P listener line open right now, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number. Also reach us on Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We are the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, check this out, man. Get Upside is an app that gets you cash back on stuff you're buying already. If you're going to fill up today, if you're going to go eat lunch, if you're going to grab some dinner on the way home for the wife and the kids or whatnot, check out the Get Upside app, because it gives you cash back on these purchases that you're already making. So it's completely free, by the way. You don't pay a dime to use Get Upside or get the cash back. It's all free. So you download Get Upside to your phone. It's in your app store. And then you put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra savings on your first fill up through the app. So if you go and get gas today, like my wife used it when we first found Get Upside and started using it, I gave her my promo code. She got 30 cents a gallon cash back. Now your mileage may vary depending on where you're at and what offers are in your area, but that promo code Barry is going to get you extra savings on top of the up to 25 cents a gallon you're already getting. If someone came up to you while you're pumping gas and said, hey dude, here's $3, here's $5, are you gonna no thank you? Yeah, you're gonna take that money. So why not download the app and start using it to do your fill ups? It doesn't make sense to leave money at the pump. This app is legit. Listeners are using it, sending me screenshots of how much money they've saved. Adrian just sent me, he updates me all the time. He's like, I'm at $80. I'm at $90. Just got a screenshot this week. I'm at $100. Like, this stuff works, man. You just got to use the app. But first, you got to download it. First, you got to put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. And then you got to use it. And it's super easy. You search your area. You find the deal that you want. You claim it. You pay with a debit card. Upload your receipt. Cash back 24 hours. Could not be easier. I'm actually stunned. Like, how do they get away with this? How are they just giving out free money? It's because these businesses want your business. That's the truth of it. They want you there. But you got to do that through the Get Upside app. So download it. It's free. Put in promo code Barry. Get that extra savings and cash back. And thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Thursday. A little programming alert for you peeps that are suspects. That is, last week we talked about it, and I guess, Nick, I'll take the blame on this one, but we were promoting Mike Golick last week and got the date wrong. Mike Golick is today, from Mike and Mike fame and now Wingo and Golick. Mike Golick today in the 3 o'clock hour will be joining us for a segment, so we'll catch up with him. If you guys got things on your mind you want to throw out there that we may or may not ask him, bring him our way. Already had a call. Was it a call yesterday that said basically that I think it was Troy said that they never talk anything but Red Sox and Yankees. So maybe we'll get Golick's take on the Astros. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a practice run last week.
Yeah.
The fire drill.
We can promote the hell out of anything, even if it's nothing.
Yeah, give you. Yeah.
Just like that.
We're just testing it to see how it went. So remind me at some point during the show today, I forgot to tell y'all the story of what happened to me last week at my gig.
Which one? The one up your way?
The one in Conroe.
All right.
I can't believe I forgot to tell this story, but it happened again where I almost got in a fight with a person at the show.
A spectator?
A heckler.
Okay.
So at some point we'll get to that. But what I wanted to get to was last night, because we got to tell one jerk story at a time. Nick is an a-hole.
Why?
He's the biggest jerk. Like, I don't even know why I hang out with him.
I don't even know why I thought it'd be a good idea for you to come to the game, because I realized very quickly that you being at the game would be
what?
Almost exactly like my daily experience on this show. I'm going to be berated. I'm going to be the butt of the joke.
You didn't have fun? We didn't have fun?
No.
No. I didn't have fun with you at all either. I was outside shooting for the show with Lauren. Shout out to Lauren. We were doing a Man on the Street for the Rockets for Houston Sports Show, KPRC channel 2, 11:30 every Sunday. Nick was inside apparently hanging out in the media dining hall. And you know what? Nick, why don't you tell Joel?
You brought it up. Why do I got to tell the story?
Because I don't want to mess it up. I don't want it to be inaccurate since I wasn't there. And Jerome had to tell me what happened.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't have told the story.
It's too good not to tell.
I can't tell it.
How would you compliment a woman, Joel? If you saw a woman and she you thought she looked good, how would you compliment her? Like, what would just if you were just randomly in the media, you saw a woman, what would you say?
So-and-so, you look fantastic. It's a great outfit.
Oh, okay. Nick, how would you tell someone in the media that they're not as ugly as they were?
What am I missing here, Nick?
How would you be like, you know what? Then what would you say, Nick?
There was a particular media member that's been, you know, working on her health.
Okay.
And I've been meaning to go up to her and compliment her, and it didn't come out right. And I'm not going to say what I said, because it doesn't matter.
Do I know this person?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Okay.
What did you say, though? Because I missed it.
I gave her a compliment for the hard work she's been putting in on her health.
Was it, I don't want to mess it
and
up.
That's it. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so don't tell us what you said, but tell us how you would compliment a woman that had been working on her health.
Just like the way Joel said it.
No, that's not fantastic. What you said at all. He said something to the effect of, you don't look as bad as you used to.
No, it was not.
Oh, no, you did not,
yes,
sir.
Totally did.
No.
I told you I would mess it up. What was the exact quote?
I said, you look a whole lot better is what I said.
A whole lot better. Did you finish it? Like,
that's it. I stopped it right there. I said, you look a whole lot better.
You look a whole lot better. It's not good, bro.
Yeesh, Nick. Yeah.
It brought Jerome to a knee. You know.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, Jerome Solomon of the Houston Chronicle can kiss my ass because he has no sense of bro code. You're supposed to help somebody out in that situation. He made it worse. I made him laugh so hard that he fell to one knee. I'm surprised this 97-year-old decrepit ass is able to Kaepernick and just pop right back up like he did yesterday. And he did it in the middle of the Rockets locker room. In front of everybody.
Wait, where
and
did
he
this
made
happen?
The noise in the media lunch.
No, it was in the locker room. It was in the locker room. In front of Capella and PJ Tucker and everybody.
Did they hear it?
They didn't hear the comment. They just saw Jerome like fall
Jerome
to one knee.
He was like, oh! At least he didn't run off. Because you know when black dudes really like something, they're going to run away.
And then it's going to spread like wildfire. In the locker room.
He did not help me in that situation at all. I hate Jerome Solomon equally as much as I hate Barry Lambert.
How did the female respond?
She was upset. She didn't like that. She was like, I don't know how to respond. First of all, she's a very nice lady. Mm-hmm. She looks fantastic. And I just had a Stephen A moment and I fumbled my words and I apologize. Straight up.
Okay.
So, but.
I'll accept that.
Jerome is an a-hole.
I don't believe it.
And Barry Lambert is an a-hole.
I know what a dick you are, so I don't believe it.
It was completely on accident. I thought a whole lot better would be okay. Apparently it's not. I'm sorry. It came out wrong.
You're not as ugly as you used to be. That's the same thing.
You know the first thing running through her mind when you said that was, well, damn, how bad did I look before?
I was nervous.
You look a whole lot better is just a different way of saying you're not as ugly as you used to be. That is literally the same thing.
And then Jerome go like, after I'm not there.
Oh, he ain't got no sister. He ain't never getting laid. And then
I'm like, I hate Jerome so much, dude.
That was the best. I'm so pissed I missed it. I'm so mad that I was outside shooting. I missed the best part of the entire night.
And I have so many faces going through my mind right now.
I was nervous about offending her, and I offended her. I was literally trying to pay a compliment, and it was a disaster.
You could have been like, hey, you look nice. Have you been, did you change your hair? You look nice.
To pile on myself? You know the sideline reporter that does the interviews after the game?
Yeah.
I went up to her and I was like, hey, are you the new, what did I say? The
court girl?
Floor girl.
Floor girl. The sideline reporter.
I was like, are you the new floor girl? She's
the
like,
AT&T
floor
sideline reporter or the Michelle Margot?
Yeah, Michelle.
From AT&T?
I don't know if that's her last name, yes. But it's Michelle, yeah.
He went up to AT&T Sportsnet's Aaron Andrews and went, are you the new floor girl?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stupid ass Nick.
She seemed cooler about the situation. The second incident, not so much.
No wonder, she should be upset. I made the observation last night to Nick, and now I know why. But I was like, you know, media is so cliquish. Like,
dude, they make me feel sure so are. Uncomfortable. Bro. Yeah.
The media is just high school. There's this, you know, like Kelly Eco and his crew. Then there's the one chick that Nick offended and her crew. And then there's the old guys, which it's a weird dynamic. Even 2 years ago, the last time that I was there, it wasn't like this. It was more like it's really gotten bad because you got Berman and Fagan, who are just the get-off-my-lawn, grumpy old media guys.
But they hate each other.
They hate each other, but they hate the young kids. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Like, they are, like, forming some old media Voltron to attack all these young cats. They're like,
they hate the young cats.
They hate the Kelly Ecos of the world.
The notorious KEL. Because when Kelly first got in, he was just happy to be there and he was just looking for guidance. And he was talking, all of a sudden, Kelly's walking in like Biggie Smalls.
Like
he's walking in with the chain out,
velour jacket.
I made the mistake of giving him a suit and he's been wearing the hell out of that.
He had a velour jacket on last night. I was like, what on earth? That is a velour tuxedo jacket. And it, like, I was like, is that Nick? Is that your jacket? That doesn't fit
with the turtleneck.
I don't know. Yeah, he did have on the turtleneck.
Yeah, he's big on the turtleneck.
So pimping. But the young cats, and it's weird because one guy asked Harden a question. Excuse me, Mr. Harden. What?
Who said Mr. Harden?
Mr. Harden? Bro, put your camera down. Get out. Mr. Harden.
Oh, Sage Northcutt ass. That's exactly how Sage Northcutt
talks. Did you hear him say that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he goes, Mr. Harden, you've been playing really great. Like, bro, you can't ask questions like that.
Ben DeBose was in the locker room again.
Wow, I don't know how, man.
No one likes us on the show, by the way. Can I just tell you? No one. Nuno and Jerome talk to us. Everyone else is like, bleep those guys. Those guys are jerks. No one likes Nick, but I think we know. We've established why now.
It's not true.
Literally no one likes Nick.
I was talking to her up until that point. I don't know if she's ever going to talk to me again, we were cool up until that point.
Well, you think that's going to get back to her clique, and none of them are going to talk to you now. Yeah.
No, that's not true.
You're out of the whole writer's clique. There's the young writer's clique, the middle-aged writer's clique, which is she's in, and then the old writer's clique.
She's in, and you point at me.
Yeah, but I'm just pointing like, yeah. So like, you got the young cats, and they still mess with Nick because they don't hate him yet. And then you got the middle aged ones that don't mess with him at all. And then the old guys that don't mess with anyone. They're just like, I think I pooped my pants. Like, they're old, so. Yeah, it was an interesting night in the media room.
And it only happened because Barry and Jerome was there. I should have realized with them two there, I'm not going to enjoy covering the Rockets. Words. Me going to these Rockets games is like finding peace from this show and dealing with Barry Laminack every day. And I wish you get your credential revoked, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lobby to get your credential revoked.
Here's what I would have said.
If they hadn't done it by now, they probably ain't going to do it.
On a normal night, because you have, what I've witnessed is, you have a lot of people that interact with you and like you when we go to the Astros games.
Really?
That, yeah, and I've seen it.
I'm just kidding.
And so I would have said, like, if Jake Assman was there, I'd have said, maybe, much like Jake needs a lot of help in his game as we witnessed, maybe you would just say to Jake, hey, I'm about to go up to so-and-so and give her a compliment, something like this. But the fact that you were with him, you probably played it right, because if you just said, hey, Barry, I'm about to go up, Barry would have gone, yeah, I like it. Say it. Go get it right
now. Speaking of Jake, and like, that dude was just straight on cheering in the press box. I was like, I didn't say nothing, but I'm like, bro, you can't be.
That's like, a Barry.
When the Yankees Astros?
Oh, Barry Warner will rip you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, ugh, yeah, I've bro, seen Barry be careful.
Warner. Barry Warner was at the game yesterday.
Was he?
Yeah, he was.
I didn't see him.
Which game? They had a game with the Y?
The Rockets game.
Really? I never saw him one time.
Well, he doesn't stay for another
game. No, you know what he does?
I sat next to him at the Astros game opening day.
So, and
got
remember,
his new business card. he sent me excerpts from his book. I got the whole Barry Warner
remember,
experience.
We played jokes on him when he sat in front of
you
us.
You were brutal about it.
I got him really bad during the baseball playoffs. Really bad. We told the story on the air. But you know what he does for basketball playoffs? He wants to know who's announcing the game. And if it's old school, if it's Bill Walton in the back in the day, right? If it's Mikhailish, if it's someone that has old school ties, he wants to go, get the free meal, chat it up with the old school guy so that they know who he is, and then he leaves.
Yeah. He was very chatty at the Astros opener. But he's doing well and good for him. He said he hasn't listened to a lick of radio since he got out of the business. And I'm like, well, that's just because you can't hear because you're old. God. I didn't say that. But he was cool. It wasn't unpleasant to hang
Barry,
out with him.
Barry, when I was your age, it wasn't back covering Barry.
There was none of that. He wasn't preachy. Because I think he knows I'm not going to put up with him doing that either. Like, he knows I'll tell him because I've told him. But it was cool, man. We hung out and chit-chatted, and yeah, it was nice to be able to hang with Barry for a little while.
Yeah, when you're not working with him, it's fine. Yes. When you're not working with him, when you take Barry Warner in doses, it's like, oh,
it's like
Barry.
Trey. It's like Trey. You small amounts, you can stomach it.
Okay. Speaking of stomach, he did show you his bare torso.
That was awful.
Yeah. I don't think that'll be happening for a while. All right, so before we get to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Twin Peaks because, hey, now's the time. We were just talking about it. NBA playoffs, NFL draft next week, all different things with the Stanley Cup playoffs and other things going on. Well, you want a great spot to go hang out, get some great food and drink, some scenic views, and watch the game on tons of big screen TVs. It's got to be Twin Peaks, man. There's locations all over the city, and right now they've got new menu items, smoked meats cooked low and slow over hickory wood, like sweet and smoky ribs, Carolina pulled pork sandwiches, and other items on the menu made from scratch. Don't forget that you can always mix them with that 29-degree, always ice-cold beer served by the best-in-class Twin Peaks girls. Whenever meal you choose, you're in for a meal worth cheering for and cheering for your teams. There's tons of TVs. It's always clean. It's a great environment. The Stanley Cup playoffs underway, the NBA playoffs almost every night, and, of course, next week, the NFL draft. Check them out at one of the six locations across the Houston area. It's Twin Peaks. It's eats. It's drinks. It's scenic views.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the second half of hour number one of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I want to remind you, as we always do, we have some great giveaways on this show whenever we get the opportunity, and this is one of those days. Later in the show, we're going to be giving away to the tickets to the Sportify Expo. It's the largest sports fan expo in Houston. It's going to be at the George R. Brown on April the 27th. We'll have some tickets for you to give away later in the show, so stay tuned for that and be ready to call in just as a little tease. And again, Mike Golic at 3:15 after my complete and utter screw-up last week in promoting it because I read the email wrong, thinking he was going to be on last week Thursday. He's going to be on today, 3:15.
Somebody said, Barry, you should see if they deliver mulch to the house. They do, and I already ordered it. So that's taken care of. I'm going to save this question. Somebody texted us about Granato doing a show with Paul Gallant on 610 and all that. I'm going to save that because I think that'll be a good topic that we can get to a little later in the show. Okay. So we'll, if that was your text, hang tight and we'll address it in a little bit. Somebody said, as long as, if Nick would have just said, if you don't mind me asking first, he could have gotten away with anything.
Yeah.
Isn't that your theory?
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking, but didn't you used to be ugly?
No, theory. Can't do that.
No, nope. You said as long.
I think
if
we
you
were talking about age.
Asking,
we were talking about age specific questions. What we were talking about.
You said to the texter's point that no matter what, if you say, if you start with, if you don't mind me asking, then you can say anything. So that's all you needed to do, and you would have been fine.
I believe you did say that.
I think
somebody wanted to know if it was Julia Morales.
Nope.
Julia Morales.
We're not going to play that game.
He would never do that to Julia.
That's a really bad road to go down.
Yeah, he would never do that to Julia Morales. There's
I wouldn't
no
do it. I that was an accident. That was not intentional. People,
did you go up to Julia Morales and say, "Are you the new foul pole girl?"
Oh man,
that would be outstanding.
That'd be a disaster.
Somebody said the only time you say you look a whole lot better is when a person's recovering from being sick, you dingleberry. That's good stuff right there.
P. Randesla wanted to let us know today is the day because it's National Send Nudes Day. Hate to disappoint you, Patrick. You won't be getting pictures from us.
Might get some from Bruce Irvin. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I sure did.
Man, DN sending his DN.
Yeah, just Brett Favre.
Yeah, and they're like,
there's a lot of names I could throw in there. I just like, went with the Brett Favre.
Was it really him? And like, he's got a tattoo that fits him. And but it gives me hope because I was like, oh, that's what I look like naked, kind of. That's not okay. Maybe I could send nudes to the wife.
Like, Lisa,
I mean, not the equipment, just the body, just the stomach and stuff.
Lisa brought this up to me the other day, and then you start thinking about it, and she's like, what? Why? And I forget, before Bruce Irvin, there was somebody else. And she's like, what is the deal there? And why would anybody do that? And if you're going to, you know, if that's like your, because I said, well, Carissa Thompson. But the big thing was she was separated from her significant other by several thousand miles and their schedules and everything like that. She goes, it just doesn't matter. You don't do it where it can be saved and it can be reset. And then you start thinking about it. Bruce Irvin, Brett Favre, guys, some friends of mine back home were talking about George Hill because he's not in the Bucks now.
Isn't there a guy locally that did that?
I was just going to say.
We'll get to that with your topic later on. But, you know, at the same time.
Who was it? Remind us.
I don't remember his name.
Oh, you don't remember his name.
Nick wants revenge on your ass today, I can tell.
You're the one who brought it up. How come? It's a local on this station or on a competing station?
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but I think he's here or was here. I don't
know. Oh, he was here and now he's on a competing station is what you're saying.
You're not getting me beat up. I don't know who you're talking about.
All right, my bad. My bad, Joel.
So the guys back home were even bringing up George Hill. And they were like, they were all pissed off because he was making 19 mil. I was like, George Hill's still pissed off. And they're like, why? Yeah. I go, because he got caught when he was with the Spurs doing that.
Yeah. I don't understand that. And I've said this before when this subject comes up on the show, but don't understand why dudes think it's cool to send a D-pick, thinking that, well, this will get her. Rather than just trying to conversate with her and you know, run some game and be smart, and I'll just send this and that should do it. No, that's just not women or that we think that because that's how we're wired. If a chick sent us a nude, we're like, I'll marry you. I'll marry you right now. Like, we're wired differently. So we think that this will work and it just doesn't work. Now, I don't know. Maybe his side, because it was a side piece that Bruce Irvin sent the nudes to.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it wasn't his woman. It was a side piece. because she's exposing him, no pun intended. But she's now trying to expose the whole situation, and she uploaded the picture to sportsgossip.com or something. I don't know. But and they covered it, by the way, so you can't see his junk, Nick, so don't get excited.
But he's cut.
No, he's not. That's why I say Bruce Irvin is every man. Like I saw it, I'm like, oh, look at the love handles.
He's the Joker?
And the gut. I'm like, yes. Like, we can all... I have the body of a football player.
Remember I told you yesterday?
The refrigerator. Like, I'm good.
Jokic. He's the Joker. Because looking at that Denver game the other night, I was looking at him going, how is this guy getting up and down the floor? He's an NBA player. I understand he's a big man, but he should be
a big man.
Yeah, he should be somewhat cut, or at least, you know, look physically fit. He doesn't.
I don't know.
He's damn good, though.
Well, we know one thing. He'll never get busted for roids, right?
True. So the game itself, fellas.
Yeah,
I don't know that. Look, the biggest takeaway from my end is this team continues to play great defense. I mean, we all knew they could score. But the way they are defending, and obviously the Utah Jazz, when you have a game plan, just like we said about when you scheme for James Harden, when you're scheming for him in a seven-game series, you can do some things you wouldn't do in the regular season. Utah's a pretty easy team to scheme for because they don't have a lot of dynamic players, shooters, things that would give you fits and make you have to be reversible on defense. But everything the Rockets are doing defensively, I think is better than last year. I think they're very impressive.
That's the one thing that they talked about a lot in the post game was their defense. Like, and Harden even said, look, we know our offense is fine. We know what we are offensively. But when we focus, and Tucker said the same thing, when we focus, when we really get after it defensively, no one can beat us. Like, and that's good that they have that confidence. It remains to be seen if that's true. But if they continue to play at this level, the Warriors are going to have their hands full in round two. There is no doubt about that. but I also felt like Harden got off to a hot start. Gordon got off to a hot start. But this, you talk about defense. I don't know what the Jazz's thought is. Rubio addressed it a little bit last night at the post game. But they're like, well, we're just trying different things on James. Well, whatever it is that you guys are coming up with is not working. It's awful. Like, Nick and I were discussing it during the game. The fact that everybody gets on Harden on his left side. And you're basically
stacks it and overloads.
You're basically giving him the step back three, which he wants you to give him. Like, he wants that three. So if you're on his left side, he can take that step back three. He's proven already in game one he can go to the right. There's just it sounds cliche to say it, but James Harden is unguardable. He's unguardable.
And I've mentioned to you guys, the bigger thing too is when you stack the left side, you let him get downhill. And once he gets downhill, it may start in it going right, but he's a step and a half in front of you before you know it, and now he's downhill, centered in the middle of the key, and he can do whatever the hell he wants, and that causes a lot of problems. But the big thing that we talked about the other day that I said was the X factor in the series is Eric Gordon, and when Eric Gordon gets off to a hot start, because we all know Harden, like you said, he's going to get his 17 points in the first 8 minutes, I think it is, but when Eric Gordon gets off early, they're a different team. They're on a different level in terms of where, how far they can go and what they can do. And this is for the second. Again, we saw a roller coaster regular season, but in the postseason, this is two straight games now where he's come out of the gates hot. They are a different team when he's making shots.
Especially when he's playing as good as defense as he's played in the first two games. So he's making shots and he's playing good defense. It really makes the Rockets a scary team. Scary team to deal with. So, and the thing is, the Utah Jazz were shooting terribly from behind the line very early on. I think they were shooting 7%. I believe it was 1-for-14 in that first quarter. They really had to do everything inside the paint or closer inside the three-point line. They did win that battle in terms of points in the paint, but it just wasn't enough against the Houston Rockets. It's just a better team, and I'm not just saying that because it's Houston.
No, it is.
They're the dynamics, the talent on the team is just not to the Rockets level. So that doesn't mean they can't lose a game in Utah.
When their decent shooters aren't shooting it well, they have no shooters at all. Because Rubio is just he's a hit and miss guy. And if Barry's favorite player isn't making shots and Korver's not making shots, Joe Ingles, if those two guys aren't making shots, and Donovan Mitchell, which, like you said, Gordon's been doing a good job on, they just don't have anybody that can make shots on the perimeter consistently.
Derek Favors is not getting enough credit. I don't know if he should get more minutes or not, but he's not getting enough credit. He's probably, outside of Mitchell, like probably their best player. Like, I really love the way he plays. I think he does not get enough credit at all.
I think part of the problem, like you mentioned, was the 7% from behind the three-point line. That was pretty much consistent throughout the game. Their shooting was not there. Donovan Mitchell is not. I mean, he's 11 points.
That's terrible.
This is your superstar. Like, this kid is supposed to be the next upper echelon superstar in the NBA. If he goes out and gets 11, I don't know if that's just, you know, EG and Chris Paul and James Harden shutting him down. Take your pick, but that's unheard of. The shot selection that they had was bad. Their offense is kind of stagnant. They didn't really get anything going. And give a lot of credit to the Rockets defensively for making that happen. But there was just nothing that you saw from that Utah team that was impressive.
No, it really isn't. And it almost looks like, as much as we were worried about the Rockets during the regular season being as good or better than they were a year ago, they've gotten there because of, like we said, the guys they picked up, things they've been able to do. Utah looks like they got worse.
They do. You're right. And I'm amazed that the Rockets are winning some of the battles. Like, not really. They didn't win the rebound battle, but it was 48 to 46.
Close enough.
Yeah. And this is a team that for a large part of the season was significantly out-rebounded by the rest of the NBA. The other thing was, last night, Jazz had 3 block shots. Rockets had 9 block shots. I would have thought that would have been the other way around. For sure. I mean, so Rockets are winning some of the smaller battles defensively that make a lot of sense as to why they're dominating.
And this is with Capella not being 100%. You know, from an offensive standpoint, he really wasn't high in production. But everything else, he did okay. I mean, he was efficient, 3 for 4, I think, from field goal range. And he had a decent number of rebounds. So
you're in a great position because you can get right against the team that you know you're going to beat.
Exactly.
As opposed to the Warriors, who are hoping to get the ship righted after everything that they've been through. Daryl Morey was on this morning with John and Lance. I'm sure 790's already trying to get exclusives because they already have them. But at the same time, the one thing I want to make sure that the Rockets do is stay focused. Don't get drunk in your own Kool-Aid, because Daryl was like saying Eric Gordon's better than Klay Thompson because he does more. Mm. I'm like, and then throwing out things like, I hope Pat Bev doesn't hurt us or hurt one of our players. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that'll be making a podcast anytime soon, but...
He said he hopes Pat Bev doesn't hurt us?
Yeah, like, they were saying, well, what if you play the Clippers in the second round? He goes, well, I hope Pat Bev doesn't hurt us.
Oh. Well.
Hurt one of our guys. It's like, yeah, those are the kind of things that I had to yank podcasts for. So, he was pretty happy. And, of course, Charles even said, and they were making fun of Barkley for being like a backhanded compliment, but he went on a roll again last night about how James is the best offensive player he's ever seen.
Who?
Charles Barkley said that last night.
He's literally unguardable.
With the rules the way they are now, and again, of course, they said it was backhanded because he and Shaq went, well, in our day, we'd have knocked him on his ass. But you know what? You're not in your day. You're in this day and age with the way they call the game now, and he is a maestro at playing the system perfectly and getting anything he wants at any time. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Hour number one, 3-hour show. Plenty more to get to. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, hour number one, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you guys taking us on the go, wherever you may be, work, pleasure, or otherwise, on a Thursday in the big city. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio as we got into a little Rockets basketball. Aside from the Bucks, it looks like the easiest path to the second round would be the Rockets. Everybody's saying, oh, it'll be a different story Saturday night, Salt Lake City, different environment. Utah better have a whole lot of new wrinkles to pull out to try and do something differently. Otherwise, this could very easily end in 4 straight.
I think, what's the guy's name that we were sitting next to, Nick, that you sat next to?
Ali Bajani of The Athletic.
I thought he said something pretty poignant that was backed up by the Jazz coach, and he said that there's no way that the Jazz shoot that bad from 3-point range on the road. And then, sure enough, we get into the post game, and coach says the same thing. Look, we're going to shoot better at home. So I think it is going to be a little more competitive. The problem is they have to figure, if the Rockets' shots are falling, and I'm not talking about James Harden, I'm talking about everybody else, if PJ Tucker is knocking down his open threes and Eric Gordon is knocking down his, and God forbid Gerald Green gets hot, it's not going to matter because James is going to get his no matter what. If everybody else's shots are falling, I don't care. The Jazz could be perfect from the 3-point range, and they probably still don't beat this Rockets team.
I tend to agree. I mean, look, I said late as you get deeper into the playoffs, that's where it's going to be essential that you get more makes than misses from starting with Eric Gordon, who you love the path that he's on right now and hope that doesn't change. But we all know that as you get deeper in the playoffs, EG can be up and down. PJ Tucker, they're going to be the same shots. There's just going to be more pressure on each shot he gets. It's not going to be, they're going to be bigger shots, if that makes sense. Gerald Green, when he comes in, you're going to rely on him to bring in some instant offense. And if he misses a shot or two and he starts missing, or Daniel House starts, as we talked about, being apprehensive about pulling the trigger, as you get deeper, it's good to get the confidence going now too, because you're going to want, confidence is such a valuable thing in the NBA with your shot, that if they can take that into the, especially when you're going to play Golden State in the second round, that's going to be where it's going to be very key, that they got to come in with the same level of confidence, but also realize the stakes are higher, stress levels are going to be higher, you're going to get a little tighter.
Also, and I was disappointed, we were talking about the media earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little disappointed in my fellow media brethren and sisterin. There were a couple of things that I felt like should have been asked in the post game, and even the old KG vets like Jonathan Fagan and old Scoop,
Mark Berman.
They didn't bother to ask, and I really wanted to know, but it's not my thing. Like, before I start getting texts and tweets, well, why didn't you ask, you dumbass? You were in the room. Because that's not my job. My job is to give opinions on the radio. The writer's job is to ask questions, get answers, and then write about it. It's two different things. They're reporters. I'm a radio guy. I'm not coming here to report to you. I'm coming here to give you opinions. So a lot of people, though, saw it. I mean, we were talking about it during the game. It was obvious James was going for that triple-double. He was two assists shy with about, 8 minutes left in the game?
And they had a big lead, yeah.
They had a huge lead. There was no reason to play James Harden. He comes in. He's not even looking for a shot. He's making the worst passes I've seen him make all year to try to force the ball into Clint Capella, turnover after turnover. And at one point, we're sitting in media row, and they're like, well, look at this. Jazz are actually making a comeback. And it was because Harden was trying to get those last two assists that enabled them to start to – and that was pointed out. Like, not just – like my, I noticed that he was going for the assist, but they were pointed out that – Mo, this is actually what the same guy, you just told me his name, and I don't want to disrespect.
Ali Bajani.
Was like, bro, look, the Jazz are literally making a comeback while he's trying to get these last two assists for the triple-double. You can't do that. Like, what if he would have got hurt? He should have been sitting,
but he was going to get those numbers,
and
one.
No one asked D'Antoni about it, and no one asked James Harden about it. And I was like, and I'm not.
You don't should
put
do
that,
it, though.
No, don't put that on me and Nick. We're radio guys. We're just there to get some audio. That's to me. Those AP writers, those Clutch Fans writers, all those writers that's their job, somebody should have asked that.
To their defense, they have asked about Harden securing a triple, like trying to get that triple-double in the past. And it's usually an answer that they don't really like, that doesn't help them with their writing. And I'm not really defending them or excuse. They have asked that before. And I've even seen Chris Paul on record say, yeah, why wouldn't he go for the triple-double? So
because he could get hurt. That's the whole point. Right. That's the question you ask. Hey, Mike D'Antoni, why did you put him in with up by almost 30 and risk getting him hurt for the sake of two assists so that he could get a triple-double? What was your thought process in that, or did you just want to get it over with so he'd leave you alone and you could sit him down?
Here's the thing. If it was a regular season game, and obviously MVP balloting is close, exactly, everything like that, I can see it. But as I said to you guys after game one, when you're up that big and each guy's played over 30 minutes, there's no reason why they should be in the game with 8 minutes. I don't care if there's 8 minutes to go. I don't care how much James loves the game. The main thing is I remember what happened to Chris Paul's hamstring. And so neither one of them should be in the game. And we saw what happened to Boogie Cousins. And you know how fragile things can turn if you are careless with even the littlest detail like that. But on the flip side, too, I don't know where you are on this, Nick, but I would say from the standpoint of asking that, I think that it could only enhance your credibility if you would have asked it. And I understand why you don't want to ask it. I understand that you feel like you're just a radio guy, but you're not. And you are a media member, but I think that's the thing that I think a lot of media members get caught up in, their story. So their story might take an angle, like the bad defense that Utah's playing on James. So that's what they want to ask about. But they also still represent the people to a certain degree. And so for the armchair quarterbacks sitting in their chair last night, wondering what you're wondering, you still owe it to them, especially the guys that are the beat writers covering every single game.
That's my point. Yeah.
You owe, Jonathan Fagan, you owe it as much as whatever your angle is for your story for tomorrow morning, but you owe it to your listeners, your viewers, your people that are not at the game to say, what was that about?
Okay. Here's another little defensive point for the media. The Chronicle comes in there with 3-4 writers, and each one of them has to write about a particular angle. So each one of those writers has to ask a particular question. And you're only given so many questions. You've got double, triple the amount of media, and they're prioritizing the questions one at a time. It's hard to get that question in while you're still trying to get the question in for your story. And I think that's fair to point out.
It's fair, but there's a game story as well as the columns.
There were people last night that asked multiple questions. So it definitely wasn't that difficult to get two questions in.
You might have got two questions in. No one asked more than two questions. No one got multiple questions.
And as far as the story and the angle goes, I get that. But there are people in there that are writing just general game summaries and getting quotes. Story. Yeah, the beat writers, the AP writers, they're the Jazz AP or beat writer. Like, there are people in there that are just writing generally about what happened in the game. And guess what? At the end of the game, you risked getting James Harden hurt for 2 assists so that he could say he got a triple-double, so that he could say, see, I don't choke in the playoffs. I get triple-doubles. Was it, if he would have gotten hurt, was it worth it? That's the question that you ask. And I mean,
for me, the story, like what I want, like I was talking to Barry in the press conference. I wanted to talk about the words exchanged between Ricky Rubio and James Harden when they got face to face like that. Yeah. That's what I wanted to ask. I didn't think the triple double thing was that big a part of the story. It was just a tiny part of the story in addition to everything else.
Because he didn't get hurt. That's the thing. If he would have gotten hurt out there trying to get 2 assists, that would be the story. So you risked. I mean, that's a big risk to take. For a stat.
Now, let me also say this, Nick, just to rebuttal what you said. The one thing I will say is the players are very cognizant of who their beat writer is. So regardless of how many questions are allowed to be asked at the press conference, whether you catch them from the locker room in front of their cubby, whatever, their locker, to the back hallway to whatever, if they know you're working on a story and you need to get a couple extra questions in, they'll almost always appease you as long as they'll say, walk with me. And if you walk with them towards the car, they'll still get you the answer. They'll give you a quote.
I think that dynamic exists. That's a fair point, and I think that dynamic exists more during the regular season. But in the playoffs, when everybody has to come to the podium, it's harder to do that because you have to write a story, and they're literally on certain times, like schedules, to meet at the podium. But they probably still could have done that in that playoff game.
And, Barry, I can already predict to you that what you said, you're going to hear from people going, Russell Westbrook does it!
Yeah, well,
but you know what? I'll be honest with you guys. They're lying, and at least some coaches are honest about it. Most coaches will tell you the video room sent a note to the bench with about 4 minutes to go and said James is 1 assist away from a triple-double.
I pointed out. I was like, look, he's at the end of the court looking up at the scoreboard to see what his stats were.
Yep.
You could see when he was 2 away but when he came in the game. He was like,
my point is,
I need 2 assists. He's literally looking up at the scoreboard to see that.
Even if the player didn't do that, there's someone in the back that's going to tell him.
Well, he knows. So, James is aware of his stats at all times.
All right, hey, look, before we get to the break, I want to tell you guys, look, you got a lot of high traffic areas in your house. It could be tile. It could be carpet. But whether you got kids and pets like me or you just got a lot of people on the go all the time, have you looked at your carpet lately and your flooring and realized that between the grout, the tile, and the carpeting, it needs some work? Well, I've got someone that can do the work for you. It's Danny Montiel and his team at iHeart Carpet Cleaning. They do a fantastic job. They've been in the business for a long time, and they're going to come out to your house and make sure that your carpets, your flooring, your tile, and your grout look like brand new. They don't use harsh chemicals. They use a natural steam that's safe for your flooring and for your family and your pets, and they do fantastic work. They're going to come out and they're going to do a small patch of the floor of the carpet and show you what they can do before they do anything more so that you will be pleased and know that they will do exactly what they said they're going to do. And as an ESPN listener, right now you can get 3 rooms clean for just $97.50. That's $97.50 gets you 3 rooms cleaned in your house from iHeart Carpet Cleaning. Give Danny a call today. He's not going to do anything but take care of you. 832-926-8049. 832-926-8049. It's Danny at iHeart Carpet Cleaning. Call him and tell him Joel Blank from ESPN sent you.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.